Good morning and welcome to each of you. I wasn't aware that part of the Sunday school lesson there at the end, Paul was talking about some of the traditions that the Jews had, but we're going to look at some more of those. He talked about the fact that when Jesus made the mud to put on the blind guy's eyes, that was on the Sabbath, and the Jews said making mud was work, and you weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. So, but before we get too far, I need two volunteers. Jane, okay, come up. I need one more. Clay, okay. Wait till Clay gets up here. For those listening in, we have two coffee cups here. And Clay, what is your favorite drink?
Coffee.
Okay. So if I was to pour coffee in one of these two cups, which one would you prefer to drink out of? That one. Okay. Now, what's your favorite drink, Jaden?
Coffee.
Which one would you prefer to drink? Which one would you prefer to drink out of now? Thank you. You guys can go back. The one has flour all over the outside, but when you don't see the inside of the other one, you don't realize there's flour all over the inside of the other one. So Jesus talked a little bit about the outside of the cup being clean, but the outside being clean, but the inside not being clean. The title of our thoughts this morning is Commandments or Traditions, which one is more important? So our text comes from Matthew 15. You can turn to that a while. But hopefully we would all agree that God's commandments are more important than our traditions. But it doesn't always work out that clearly in our lives. That doesn't mean that our traditions are bad or are not important at all, because we are actually creatures of habit. We all have traditions that we do every day, whether it's the first thing I do is make coffee, and that's a pretty important tradition that I have every morning. Whether it's in our personal life or as a group or as a family, we all have traditions that we do at Christmas. Not necessarily bad things, but there's a place for the traditions, and hopefully they're not higher than the commandments of God. So what does tradition actually mean? Some of our backgrounds, we kind of came away with a bad taste of the word tradition, and yet it's not necessarily a bad thing. So the meaning of tradition is the transmission of customs or belief from one generation to the next, and we're all called to teach and train our children, and basically pass traditions on to our children, and yet they need to be in the right perspective. A quote I found says, "Outward form is only as beneficial as inward obedience of our hearts to God's commands." The inside, our hearts, the obedience of our hearts is what is most important, and yet that's going to come out by the way we live our life on the outside. A couple of traditions that we're going to look at that the Jews had and what Jesus had to say in just one verse in Matthew 23, Jesus, Matthew 23, verse 25, says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." So that goes along with our cups here and the flour on the outside versus on the inside. So this time we're going to read verse 1 through 15, or 1 through 11 of chapter 15. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth is this defileth a man. So the question that we're looking at first here is, the Pharisees asked Jesus why his disciples didn't follow the traditions of the elders. They didn't ask why they didn't follow the commandments of God. They ask about the tradition of the elders. And also, an interesting note that I read was, the Pharisees often came and asked Jesus, or they came and asked Jesus why his disciples didn't follow a commandment. And in another place, they came and asked the disciples why their master didn't follow a commandment. They never went to the person that they had the problem with. It's like they were trying to sow discord between the two or something. The washing that they're talking about here wasn't just the normal hand washing. And apparently, prior to COVID, there was people talking about washing hands too. But even was mentioned in Sunday school, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of rituals, a lot of things that they were supposed to do for to clean themselves. But the Pharisees had added a long list of things that needed to be done in order to be clean. In Mark 7, verse 3, it says, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables." And not only did you just have to wash your hands before you ate, you had to pour water over each hand twice, a certain amount of water, and it had to run down over the right direction. So there was a lot of little things that had to be just right in order to be considered clean. And it wasn't just at meal times; it was in between. There was in between meals, before and after. So there was a lot of emphasis on the outward, what they did, that wasn't spelled out, that God hadn't told them necessarily to do, but just things that they had added, and that now they were teaching those things as doctrine, even to the point of one Jewish rabbi declared that to eat with unwashed hands is as great a sin as murder or adultery, and could be punished as such. Another said he would rather die of thirst and have washed hands than to transgress the tradition of the elders. If only they were as concerned about transgressing the commandments of God as they were the tradition of the elders, they would have came out at a different place. And then in Mark 2, there's a similar situation to what was in our Sunday school lesson, where Jesus told the man to take up his bed and walk. And there again, it was working on the Sabbath. And also, the disciples, as they were walking through the cornfield, they pulled an ear of corn to eat because they were hungry. And when they, using your hand to rub off the silk off of an ear of corn was considered a form of harvesting. And so therefore it was work and not acceptable on the Sabbath. The interesting thing was that they had there was clear commandments that God had given them that they formed loopholes to get around. Jesus' answer to them in verse 4 and 5, where he talks about how they were supposed to honor their father and mother. They had came up with a law that was called Corban. The Jewish law required children to take care of their parents in their old age, but there was a loophole that if they didn't want to do that, they could give money or land to the temple for use, for the temple use, and that took care of their because they vowed it and they couldn't go back on their vow, so therefore they could break a direct commandment from God in order to fulfill their vow. But they created a loophole at the end of that law that said after your parents died, you could get that land and that money back. So they were completely going against a direct commandment of God, and yet they were, they felt good about themselves because they had it all written out where they could obey without obeying. So we see that setting man-made tradition above God's commandments is really idolatry. Another saying I found here says, "Legalism is when we elevate man-made rules over true worship and service of God, or as the Jews did, to get away from actually obeying God's commandments." Now, Gary indicated that we probably don't do this anymore. That was something that was in the past. Surely we wouldn't do that today. I mean, this is 2021. We've come a long ways since the Jews here in the Bible time. We're BMA, whatever you want to say. We came out of that, but we were having a discussion last Sunday, I think, a couple of us, the things that we do, the things that we really value, where do they come in this whole picture? Like, some of the traditions that we have that are good, do they promote the gospel or do they hinder? We wouldn't say that people have to dress a certain way in order to be able to worship God, or that a church has to have pews in order to be able to worship God, or there has to be a certain kind of windows, or the list could go on and on. But sometimes it's easy to associate those things with worship. The types of songs we sing, whether it's hymns or worship songs or whatever that we associate with worship. But yet sometimes we get those things mixed up. And we can look to the way we do things to bring worship instead of looking to God. Some more traditions that we have. We traditionally have a nice Sunday lunch. It's very good. And I traditionally take a nap after lunch on Sundays, which my kids think is the dumbest way to spend a Sunday afternoon. But they'll understand someday. And yet, it's not the traditions that were the problem here. The traditions that the Jews were upholding were started out to ensure that they didn't break the commandment of God. But at some point, those traditions became more important than the commandment of God. So let's look at, I love how Jesus oftentimes, a couple verses on later, explains either to the disciples or to a smaller crowd, gives more light into what he was meaning by what he said. So let's read verses 16 to 20. And Jesus said, "Are ye also without understanding?" Peter had asked him to explain the parable to him. Said, verse 17, "Do not ye yet understand? For whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, evil witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." So the Jews were very particular to be ceremonially clean. They took it very serious. But they had added so much stuff to the list that the list became more important than being clean on the inside. Jesus gave a little science lesson to the people. Everything we eat eventually passes through the body. However, if we all know that if we eat too many Reese cups or eat too much, it sticks around longer than what we like, maybe. But it's not what we put in that necessarily defiles our character or comes out in undesirable actions. But it's what's in our heart. And yet, the outside, how we are on the outside, is a result of what's in our heart, and so is therefore important as well. So as we think about what's in our hearts, and as we think of the things that we do, the things that are important to us, It's not to make us doubt the traditions or the things that we do, the things that are important to us, but to keep in mind that what's in our hearts and is more important. In closing, I want to read in Galatians 5, there's a list of the fruit of the Spirit, the things that are supposed to be coming out of our hearts. Verse 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So as we strive for God-centered faithfulness, which will also affect the outside, the man-centered performance, which only addresses the outside, won't be an issue. So as we go from here, may we strive to serve God in a way that comes from the inside and not just focus on what might look like on the outside. So with that, let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for your blessings to us. Thank you for the pictures in Scripture that we can visualize the truth that you are trying to share with us. And as we think of our hearts and the evil that can come out of our hearts, just pray that you would cleanse each of us and that we would allow your Spirit to work on us and that the fruits of the Spirit can manifest themselves and that we can be the example, the light to the world around us that we are called to be. Just help us to, as we study your word, that we can apply them to our lives and have your word, your scripture, be the highest authority in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.